translation and purport by His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Although Lord Sri Krishna is constantly by their sides, as well as exclusively alone, His feet appeared to them to be newer and newer. The goddess of fortune, although by nature always restless and moving, could not quit the Lord's feet. So what woman can be detached from those lotus feet, having once taken shelter of them? Purport. Conditioned living beings are always after the favor of the goddess of fortune, although by nature she is moving from one place to another. In the material world, no one is permanently fortunate. However clever one may be, there have been so many big empires, different parts in different parts of the world, and there have never been so many powerful kings all over the world. There have been so many fortunate men, but all of them have been liquidated gradually. This is the law of material nature. But spiritually, it is different. According to the Brahma Samhita, the Lord is served very respectfully by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. They are always in a lonely place, also with the Lord. But still, the association of the Lord is so inspiringly newer and newer that they cannot quit the Lord for a moment, even though they are by nature very restless and moving about. The spiritual relation with the Lord is so enlivening and so resourceful that no one can leave the company of the Lord once having taken shelter of Him. The living beings are by constitution feminine by nature. The male or enjoyer is the Lord, and all manifestations of His different potencies are feminine by nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, the living beings are designated as para prakriti, or the superior energy. The material elements are apara prakriti, or inferior potency. Such potencies are always employed for the satisfaction of the employer or the enjoyer. The supreme enjoyer is the Lord Himself, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29. The potencies, therefore, when engaged directly in the service of the Lord, revive the natural color, and thus there is no disparity in relation with the potent and the potency. I'll just read that last sentence again. The potencies, therefore, which when engaged directly in the service of the Lord, revive the natural color, and thus they have no disparity in the relation of the potent and the potency. Generally, people engaged in the service are always seeking some post under the government or the supreme enjoyer of the state. Since the Lord is the supreme enjoyer of everything, and in or outside of the universe, it is happiness It is happiness to be employed by him. Once engaged in the supreme government service of the Lord, no living being wishes to be relieved from the engagement. The highest perfection of human life is to seek some employment under the Lord's supreme service that will make one extremely happy. One need not seek the moving goddess of fortune without relation to the Lord. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Salakeya Chaksho Unmilatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vancho Kaupatubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanabheyo Vaishnavabheyo Namo Namaha. So seeking the blessings of everybody here in this time that we have for this special verse and purport where Prabhupada is relating to the goddesses of fortune and ourselves who are aspiring devotees. Let's see what comes of this with the blessing of the Acharyas, who we seek their blessings. And each other to understand what is being explained to us here in terms of its transcendental nature. So Lord Krishna's return to Dwarka. He's been greeted in such a way as mentioned before, I think in an earlier verse, that this, what they're doing is an expression of their love. They hold a festival, they clean the streets, they're doing so many nice things in preparation of the Lord. And so they can express their love. They want to show affection. And this is a very important quality. It's something that we can aspire for. How we can show our affection in different ways with each other and the devotees of the Lord as well. And certainly their preparation for the Lord was one of a cooperation, much like we have in festivals here and are having now with the Sankirtan festival, in the Christmas Sankirtan festival. It's a cooperative, and as best we can, whatever bit of service we can do towards that Sankirtan, this is looked upon as very wonderful thing to Srila Prabhupada and the Lord himself. So here, the goddesses of fortune, it seems that they've got a taste for Krishna, isn't it? That their relationship with him has become sort of fresh and new each time. And there's thousands of goddesses of fortune, and yet they say when they're alone with him that somehow it's a special, unique moment for each one of them. Interesting. Yet they're expansions. And they know what's happening, but they don't know what's happening because such is their exclusive meditation on that moat, on that that moment with the Lord. And this is a wonderful thing, because to bring our attention to the moment that we have in you could say with chanting each mantra or giving out each book, we should say is a special moment. We're not looking at numbers, though we do look at numbers. We should know, and I like this, the revolutionary Sankirtan party and all these things. It's very nice, because though there are individuals out there and they're doing really well, I always used to question this part of Sankirtan, where individually the names were given out. You know, personally, I remember doing Sankirtan, it was always good to get out, but to do what you can. But somehow I felt if a name was popped on it, whether it's so-called high numbers or low numbers, that there would be some external, you could say, or material calculation on our part because of our conditioned nature. And then you hear, I did, or he did, how many did you do? And none of us did any of it. Krishna did it. And so nobody takes a book without Krishna's permission. But also, if we try and do a book, not hearing Krishna, that sometimes the book can go astray. In other words, that person is so persuaded by either our nature to get the result, that it may not get the result. It might end up in the bin or something like that. So, and I've seen it too. So there's a consideration here. It's the special moment that you have an opportunity to speak to somebody. Because it is an opportunity, because you know when you see them whizzing by you and they're not stopping, isn't it? And then when somebody stops, it's an opportunity. And so in that way, Krishna hopefully will empower us in such a way we can reveal what's within ourselves and sharing with them about the book that enthuses us as well. Or we give them our realization or what's happened to us. We can share with them. You never know. It can happen. So, actually, back to the purport. It says here, he's constantly by their sides, as well as exclusively alone. And when you go out as a Sankirtan party, you're all together. And I heard Niskanchana speaking that it was nice to go out with the devotees and book distribute. And it's true. There's this association that he felt at that particular moment. It was a relishable experience to go out with the devotees as well as being alone. But at that time, when you're trying to distribute a book, there's it's sort of in your court to do something. You've got there, association, everything's there from the point of what's happening in your in the backup and everything. So then it's a one-to-one with each person that you meet. And so his feet, he says here, his feet appeared to them to be newer and newer. And, you know, service can appear to be newer and newer. If you're a regular Sankirtan devotee, they'll tell you about their experiences and how somehow there is a unique relationship experience between each person you approach or that is approached. And so it is, it's a moment to be, you could say, cherished. And it says here, however, it says, the moving nature of, in the material world, no one is permanently fortunate, however clever one may be. There have been so many big empires in different parts of the world, and there have been so many powerful kings all over the world. And there have been many fortunate men, but all of them have been liquidated gradually. And that's a very cutting position, isn't it? But the thing is, we should relate to that in such a way that our moment is very precious. That we're gone, we're here, and then we're gone. And our real significance is what we can do in that particular moment. And not for what, for fame, adoration, that may continue for a while, but actually we're gone in the course of time. But it's never forgotten by the Lord. That's the wonderful thing about devotional service. It's never forgotten. And in terms of, because it's spiritual, but Prabhupada mentions in material world, you know, so many people come and go. So if we can just hang on to this understanding that actually everything spiritual that we do in terms of service and understanding the Lord is never lost. It's just piling up your, you could say, Prabhupada puts it, your bank account of spiritual understanding and your next steps closer to Krishna. And it says here, but spiritually it is different. In the Brahma Samhita, the Lord is very is served very respectfully by hundreds of goddesses of fortune. They are always in a lonely place, or also with the Lord. But still, the association of the Lord is so inspiring, newer and newer, that they cannot quit the Lord for even a moment, even though they are by nature very restless and moving them about. And that's us, isn't it? We're restless and moving about. How about this service? What about this service? If we can do this service, you know, we're looking for something we hope will suit our nature in this current body that we have. But at the same time, whatever we've been given, we should be given it as treasure, even though it may not be what we want to do. And that is worth understanding, because what happens, we can lose service just by our desire to not do it. And the sad thing is, from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And so we say, I'm sorry, I forgot to come. Or I forgot. Krishna fulfills our service in such a way, if we want to serve what our other desires are, or what we request inside, or what we don't request inside. And so we got to be careful what we desire, because it would take us away from that which was prescribed. You know, so interesting thing. So everybody's put in a situation, certainly within the temple and outside the temple, in terms of our daily duties. We got to do them, that we can't ignore them. But if we ignore them, there's a pile up in our head. And so we should be reluctant in our daily duties, because who gave us these duties? Tell me, who gave us our daily duties? Sorry? Yeah. So really, it's an authority, isn't it? There's an authority there, giving out daily duties. And, I remember once there was a young lad here, he was doing service. We would show him what to do, and then he wouldn't do it that way, or he'd do something else or something. And then you'd say to him, somehow he wouldn't do it, and as he wanted, or as was prescribed, and what happened? So we asked him, try and do it as you've been asked. And then it would be said, I'm serving Krishna, he said, not you. And somehow he misunderstood the concept of the sort of like disciplic succession, that, you know, anybody who's in authority, like a manager or whatever, they're not giving you the order. Krishna's giving you the order. They're just a representative. And so there's a misunderstanding, about this thing. You could say it's a sort of a naive situation. But the goddesses of fortune, they know only one boss. They only know Krishna in their heart. But they know they got to do what he wants. And what he wants his devotees to be looked after. So Prabhupada, he mentions this. Wherever you are serving Krishna, the goddess of fortune is always there. Because that service is none different from Krishna. She has the help. She will give help. But you don't have to pray to her. You just pray for the strength to do the service as best you can, that you've been given in such a way that you can still be enthusiastic, that this has been given to me actually by Krishna. And Prabhupada says, whatever you've been given, he says, a surrendered soul sees, no matter what I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing. And he says, it comes from Krishna. We should know that. We can't separate the two. And he said, let all other considerations be forgotten. And my only motive is Krishna's alone pleasure. So whatever we have at the moment, we do it in such a way. And you've got a book in your hand, you do it in such a way, you pass it on, that Krishna is pleased, that because, as I gave an example before, I was all day trying once to do, distribute the Bhagavad Gita, because that was my first book, so I thought I had to repay a debt, and all day I was there with a box of flapjacks, and the Bhagavad Gita's flapjacks went, but the books weren't going. And so I was just packing up, and I thought, well, what's going on? Anyway, as I was packing up, a lady waved to me from outside a parked taxi, and she said, what are you doing? She called me over. And I said, I'm trying to distribute books. They're books of yoga. It's special books about spiritual things. But we call it yoga. And she said, oh, my daughter's interested in yoga. How much are they cost? And I said, £10. And she said, oh, I'll take one. And she took that Bhagavad Gita. But it wasn't under my control. It was under Krishna's control. She was the one who asked what I was doing. She's the one who had a connection with somebody who was interested in this sort of spiritual nature or yoga. And so it was the best book because I didn't do it. if you see what I mean. You start to understand that actually, really, Krishna is definitely in charge. No matter what your motive is to sort of do it or give these books, it doesn't work out like quite as you expect. So be prepared for the unexpected. And so it's a very interesting thing. But this is the wonderful thing that keeps the goddesses of fortune attached to Krishna. It's ever fresh, it's ever new. You don't know what he's going to do. You know, they've got to stay with him. They want to find out. They want to stay with Krishna. And they want to stay with those who serve Krishna. Because Krishna's pleased with them. And then it says, the living beings are by constitution female, by nature. The male or enjoyer is the Lord, and all manifestations of his different potencies are feminine by nature. So we're the enjoyed, and that's a nice thing, because we become useful to Krishna, useful in such a way that it'll be good for everyone. Because Krishna and his parts and parcels, they have their function. We are his arms and legs, it says in chapter 13. We're spread everywhere in the universe. And Prabhupada explains that actually that is the case. That actually you are his arms and legs. And whatever you are doing on behalf of Krishna, you are doing as his arms and legs. And it's very wonderful. And so anybody who takes care of somebody happens to be Krishna's arms and legs in whatever position they're in or whatever service they're in, whether it be materially or spiritually. So the whole world is under the super soul's control. He's controlling the wanderings of all the living entities. So we got to realize, actually, is our helplessness. That actually, that we are but instruments of Krishna's pleasure. That somehow we got to use our individuality in such a way that he'll be pleased. Because he's also surprised by what the things we do as well. Because he gives us this little minute independence to also do something special, you know, from ourselves individually. This is, I suppose, Krishna's, you know, as he gave to Arjuna, you know, when he had to kill Ashwatthama, that he had to not kill him, yet kill him. And Prabhupada explains. But still, Krishna says, he's given you intelligence to do something. And you should do in such a way that also you have to engage that intelligence that actually will be pleasing both the Lord and the devotees. And so this requires a lot of intelligence, if I may say so. You know, it's not an easy thing. But somehow we got to try. We have to understand that actually Krishna's not going to say, you know, you're going to say, well, everything's up to Krishna. There's nothing I can do. I'm helpless. Of course we aren't. We have that. We have to volunteer and give what we've got, you know, to our utmost resource and so-called intelligence that we've been given in the situation. And so he says, such potencies, this is the material potencies and the spiritual potencies, are always employed for the satisfaction of the employer and the enjoyer. The supreme enjoyer is the Lord himself, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29. The potencies, when engaged directly in the service of the Lord, revive the natural color. Thus, their disparity in the relationship of the and there is no disparity in the relation of the potent to the potency. And that's what Prabhupada says again in chapter 18. He says, devotional service is non-different from Krishna. It's on the transcendental level. You can't distinguish the service from the servitor from the served. It's on the same level. And what happens, both enjoy. But the enjoyed enjoys more the enjoyer, if we're not careful. And that's what Lord Chaitanya came for. He wanted to find out what Radharani was enjoying more than him. And so he wanted to know, experience that taste of the enjoyed. It was different, just as he did with Mother Yashoda when she was chasing him with a whipping stick. It was a wonderful experience for him. He wanted to be the enjoyed and the not enjoyed. He wanted that intimate relation. And so we start to see a little bit of a mystery come with the loving exchanges with the Lord. So there's no difference between the potent and the potency. It's always there, and it's always been there since time immemorial. We are as parts and parcels. Never was there a time when you or I did not exist, nor will there ever be. And so, Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, it's a wonderful, wonderful verse. He says, having obtained this knowledge from the self-realized soul, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, and they belong to me. But what sort of belonging is it? It's the belonging of a loving relationship. You belong to each other. Krishna belongs to us. We belong to him as his parts and parcels. He doesn't want it any other way. His desire that we unite with him to please him, but at the same time, we find out that actually in giving, that is our joy. That's a natural expression of the soul, our position. That's when we really enjoy, when we're giving. So, unconditionally. So, and that's what he's asked for in the last few chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18. Surrender to me. But he came as Lord Chaitanya to show us how to surrender. So, and he's given us Sankirtan Yajna, to show how to surrender to him, no matter what. And you never know what to expect. It's an adventure, because it's under Krishna's control. And that's the way it should be. If it's in our control, where's the adventure? Ask yourself that question. If we're controlling everything, can you imagine what it's like? It's awful. You know, the worst chaos in this world is caused by supreme controllers everywhere, in the modes of material nature, under the control of modes of material nature. So it's just worth understanding it. Let's see what Prabhupada's final lines. He says, oh yes. So he says that actually the highest perfection of human life is to seek some employment under the Lord's supreme service. That's the supreme perfection of life. That will make one extremely happy. One need not seek the moving goddess of fortune without relation of the Lord. So, that's it. You know, she's always there and she looks after us all. in terms of our relation with the Lord. Our relationship with the Lord, the goddess of fortune, is there or not there. It depends on our relationship with the Lord. So, any comments, questions? It's a bit of a solitary verse because I've not had time to for anything else. What do you, any questions, comments?